بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. As we sit here, millions of our brothers and sisters are in the holy cities of Mecca, Makkatul Mukarrama, and Madinatul Munawwara. And millions of others are arriving on flights, on thousands of flights, and thousands of vehicles as well. Hundreds of tons of food are being prepared and served. You know, hotels are getting filled up. Practically an ocean of animals, a sea of animals is being readied for sacrifice. This is what appears to be happening when we look at it with our eyes. But in reality, what's really happening is that millions of souls have an appointment. They have an appointment with their Lord on the most sacred land, on the most sacred day of the year. On that day, the ninth day of Dhul-Hijjah, the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the month of Hajj, which will be on Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday after that, those millions of individuals from all these different cultures, different ethnicities, of different social statuses, you know, those who are rich and those who are poor, all these people of different ages, each of them with their own, with their each burden of sins, some more, some less, all of these people will all flock to the plains of Arafah. Millions at the same time, like a wave of people all heading together at the same time, rushing towards the desert. And they will be there with the greatest hope. They will be there with the greatest hope that they will likely have, ever have, in the mercy of their Lord, at least in their worldly existence. And they will all be dressed alike, you know, very simply. And nothing will count on that day. It doesn't matter who it is, whether it's a prince or a king or a villager from the poorest nation on earth. Nothing will matter on that day except for their faith and their deeds. And this is very similar, very, very similar to the scenes on the Day of Judgment. They will be there, you know, crying for forgiveness, begging for mercy, for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, burying their souls, emptying out the skeletons in their closet, so to speak, desperately hoping that they will not be sent home empty-handed. And when they come out of that state, so when they return from Arafah in the evening and stop by overnight in Muzdalifah and then go back to Mina, there will be, and they take off their ihram, there will be hugs, there will be tears, and many du'as that all of this effort, all of this sacrifice, all of this wealth, all of the time that has been spent in this endeavor was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if indeed, if it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Al-Hajj al-Mabroor laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. That the reward of a Hajj Mabroor, of an accepted Hajj, is nothing but paradise. And if they come out of it, if they come out of all of this without committing any obscenities or without committing any wrongdoings, their souls will be purified, reset, or restored, if you want to use a computer terminology, to the way it was when they were born. So all of that, right, all of that which they have done, all of the dirt that they have accumulated on their souls, all the baggage that their souls are carrying, and that's holding them down and stopping them from, you know, propelling themselves forward in goodness and in piety, will be gone, and they will be able to start fresh, inshallah. Now, if you're sitting here and listening to this, most chances are that you're not going to be one of them, meaning you're not going to be doing Hajj this year. And it's probably a good time, if you, especially if you haven't gone for Hajj in the past, and Hajj has become obligatory upon you if you're able to afford the trip and you have the health and so on. It's a good time to start thinking about next year and to start making plans, because it's not something that you could decide to do a week before or 2 weeks before, right? You need to start planning well in advance. So this is the time to start thinking about that right now and to make that intention. And if you make the intention, If you sincerely make the intention and sincerely tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Oh Allah, I will try my best, my true best, to go for Hajj next year," then inshallah you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for you. But even without making the trip, even without being there on the day of Arafah, even though we are not with the millions of our brothers and sisters who are there right now, even without doing all of that, there is a lot to be gained without going anywhere. Because the blessings of these days of Hajj, so we are in the month of Hajj, are so great that these blessings are all over the place. These immense blessings are not limited to the plains of Arafah. They are not limited to the sacred lands. Rather, these blessings are in the air everywhere. So while it would have been great for us to be there, we're not just spectators. We're not just those who have been left behind, who have just, you know, given our hugs to our loved ones and our friends and have said goodbye. And, you know, we're not just people who have been left behind to just watch what happens on television, for example. Rather, we can also be taking advantage of these blessed days. And these are the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the first of which is today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the importance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the importance of these days, the value of these days, when He swears by them in the Qur'an. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by something, it is to emphasize its value and its importance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, by the dawn and by the 10 nights. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah and other commentators of the Qur'an say that the 10 nights referred to here are actually the 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And this opinion was shared by other scholars as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِيهِنَّ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are no days in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days. Right, so this really highlights, really underlines the importance of these days. Right, we place a lot of importance on, for example, the month of Ramadan, which is important, of course, the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ saying there are no days in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these days, than these 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. So the companions of the Prophet ﷺ asked him, not even fighting or struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ replied, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا رَجُلًا خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْجِعْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِشَيْءٍ. So not even struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except. So not even struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more meritorious than the actions done on these 10 days, except for in the case of a man who went out to struggle and he gave himself up, he gave his wealth up for the cause, and he came back with nothing. So except for that, other than that, any other act that is done at any other time, if it's done during these 10 days, it's more meritorious, and these 10 days have the most preference in that sense. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also reported to have said, مَا مِنْ عَمَلٍ أَزْكَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَلَا أَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْمَلُهُ فِي عَشْرِ الْأَضْحَى. That there is no deed more precious in the sight of Allah, nor greater in reward than a good deed done during the 10 days of sacrifice, or the 10 days of the month of Hajj. Now Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, great commentator, he says, the most apparent reason for the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah being distinguished, because people wonder, okay, so what's so special about these 10 days? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about their importance? Why is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that they're so valuable? So he says, the most apparent reason for the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah being distinguished in excellence is due to the assembly of great acts of worship in this period. He said, it's because all these different important acts of worship come together on these 10 days. So for example, the prayers, right? So on the 10th day, we offer the Eid prayers. Fasting, right? So on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, on the day of Arafah, it's recommended for people to fast, especially those who are not there in Arafah. You know, giving in charity. So when we sacrifice the animal, and the Hajj, of course, which is taking place. In no other periods do these great deeds combine. So it's because all of these deeds come together, right, are either sanctioned or are either recommended during these 10 days, and that's why, according to Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, that is the most apparent reason why these 10 days are most distinguished in excellence. So the question then becomes, what about Ramadan? Right, so we hear about the importance of the month of Ramadan. We talk about how valuable it is, how important it is to, you know, to multiply your good deeds during the month and so on. So some scholars have explained that the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are the most magnificent out of all other days of the year, while the 10 nights of the month of Ramadan are most magnificent out of all the nights of the year. So when it comes to the nights, which are the most precious out of the entire year, it's the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. When it comes to the 10 days, the daytime, which is most precious, that is the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. Ibn Taymiyyah and others as well, rahimahumullah, have said that the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah have a higher degree of excellence than the 10 nights of the month of Ramadan because of the day of Tarwiyah, so the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, and Yawm al-Nahr, the day in which the sacrifice is done, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, because of these days. And the nights of the month of Ramadan are greater in excellence compared to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah because of the fact that Laylatul Qadr occurs in the last 10 nights. Right? So each one has its own points that make it more excellent in terms of excelled in terms of virtue compared to the other. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, another great scholar, says that the entire period of the 10 days of the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah is higher in excellence than the entire month of Ramadan. And in the month of Ramadan, there is one night which is more excellent, higher in degree, than any other day of the year, right? Than any other night of the year. So basically, all of this is to say that our predecessors, our scholars, right, would take any opportunity, right, would be looking for any opportunity to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to increase their worship, any opportunity where they could find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was increasing reward, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was offering, extending His mercy even more so than what He regularly does, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was offering greater blessings. Whenever they found this opportunity, whether it was in the month of Ramadan, whether it was Dhul Hijjah, whether it was in the month of Muharram, whenever it was, they would always take that opportunity and really start acting upon it. And this is clear from what we'll see further on as well. So the question is, what should be done? What should be done during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. Mention the names of Allah on appointed days. Now there's some discussion, some difference of opinion regarding what exactly are the أَيَّامُ ma'lumat, these appointed days. The majority of scholars say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is most probably referring to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And this is reaffirmed by the fact that the Prophet ﷺ has recommended abundant recitation of praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these days. The Prophet ﷺ has recommended abundant recitation of the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these days. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma reports that the Prophet ﷺ said, "There are no days greater in the sight of Allah in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Him than these 10 days." So this is similar to the hadith which we heard earlier. And he also says, فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّحْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ. So during this time, recite a great deal of tahleel. Right? So tahleel is to say, لا إله إلا الله. وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. Recite a great deal of takbir and وَالتَّحْمِيدِ. And so to say, tahleel is to say, لا إله إلا الله. Takbir is to say, Allahu Akbar. And tahmid is to say, Alhamdulillah. And reciting tasbih, which is to say, Subhanallah, is also commendable. So tahleel is recommended, and that is to say, La ilaha illallah. Tahmid, to say Alhamdulillah, is also recommended. And saying takbir, to say Allahu Akbar, is also recommended. And therefore, you know, that's the basis for the takbirat that we read. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd, because it contains all of these elements. Now, of course, we associate these words, right? We associate these words with the day of Eid, for example, right? Or the days that follow the Eid al-Adha. But as we can see, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah mentions that Ibn Umar and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhum, the two of them would go out to the marketplace. So they would go out to the marketplace during these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, saying Allahu Akbar, saying these takbirat, and the people would also say it as well. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhum, I used to make takbir in Mina on these days after every prayer. So he would say this after every prayer. Not only that, but while reclining on his couch, you know, in his tent, in his gatherings, when he was sitting with people, and when walking, in all of these days. Right? So it's recommended, it's something good, that whenever you get the opportunity during these first 10 days, that you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, read the takbirat, you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Now fasting is also recommended until the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah. So on the day of Arafah, on the ninth day, it's specially recommended, but even during the rest of the first of these days, it is also recommended. There's a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yasumu tis'a Dhul Hijjah wa yawma Ashura wa thalathatu ayyam min kulli shahr, awwal ithnain min ash-shahr wa khamisain. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. So those were the first 9 days he would fast, the day of Ashura, and 3 days of each month, the first Monday and 2 Thursdays. So this was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the ninth is specially recommended to fast in on, but all these days that we're going through right now, starting today until next Friday, well, that is also recommended if it's possible for us to fast in. As I mentioned, the fast of the ninth of Dhul Hijjah is especially recommended. The Prophet ﷺ was asked about that. He was asked, what about the fast of the ninth of Dhul Hijjah? فقال يكفر السنة الماضية والباقية. So he said that it expiates for the sins of the previous year and of the coming year. So it has great virtue associated with, there's great virtue associated with fasting on that day. In these 10 days, right, so, or in these 9 days, starting from the 1st up to the 9th, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says that fasting in these days is, he says, مُسْتَحَبٌ إِسْتِحْبَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. So it's highly or extremely recommended to fast during these days. Now, you know, the days have become shorter now, the time's about to change, the days are getting shorter, so it's not like, you know, fasting in Ramadan where it might have been somewhat more challenging, it's much more easier for us to do it now. So this is something that, inshallah, that we could try to act upon. Now the hadith which we mentioned earlier, we discussed earlier, which said that there are no days in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days, gives us the indication that these 10 days, right, are open to all types of good deeds. Okay, so we talked about fasting, you know, we talked about fasting during these 10 days. We talked about saying takbir and tahleel and tahmeed. But also, these days are open for doing anything that is good. So the scholars say that, you know, if you give charity, you know, that's specially recommended during these days. The recitation of Qur'an, any type of good deeds that you can think of, right? So helping the needy, doing da'wah, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mending ties with one another if you've had a disagreement with someone, spreading the salam, so, you know, making an extra effort to say assalamu alaikum to one another, feeding people who are needy, offering your prayers in congregation, right, so we can make an extra effort. Now, alhamdulillah, Fajr prayer is, you know, is quite late, well, for the next few days. It's at 6:40 at the masjid, then the time's going to change, so it's going to go back a bit. But, you know, Aisha prayer is at 7:40, it's not too late as it would be in the summertime. So these are all opportunities for us to do good deeds. Honoring our parents, honoring our guests, right? So if you have guests coming over, making extra effort to serve them. Honoring our family ties, so reaching out to relatives who we might have lost touch with or haven't contacted in for some time. Visiting the sick and so on and so forth. So any good deeds that you can think of will have extra virtue, have extra value associated with them during these days. Now, beginning at the time of Fajr on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. So the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah would be Saturday. So beginning at Fajr on the 9th, after every obligatory prayer, after every fourth prayer, we should recite Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. And this should continue until Asr prayer on the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. So the 9th would be Saturday. So starting after Fajr on Saturday, we'll start reciting this after each fourth prayer up to the 13th, which would be the Wednesday. So up to Asr prayer on Wednesday, after each fourth prayer, we should recite these words in the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah is, of course, the day of Eid al-Adha. Right, so that would be Sunday, inshallah. Again, not this Sunday. Don't come to pray Eid this Sunday, please. Then Sunday following that. Fasting is not permissible on these days. Right? So fasting is not permissible on... So while it's recommended to fast from the 1st of Dhul-Hijjah to the 9th, something virtuous, something good, all of a sudden, what happens on the 10th? It becomes forbidden. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it forbidden to fast on that day. And we should not fast on the 11th, 12th, and 13th days of Dhul-Hijjah either, because the Prophet ﷺ has described these days as the days of eating, drinking, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Drinking halal drinks, of course. So eating, drinking, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, of course, we eat and drink, and we get pleasure out of that. But our aim should be that by doing all of these things, we're actually remembering the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that He has blessed us with. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me, give all of us the ability to really, really value these days. And it's interesting because, you know, I was just thinking about this, like, okay, I need to tell people about the importance of this, but I just did that, like, in Ramadan. You know, it wasn't too long ago. It was like, what, 60, 70 days ago, right? But really what it is, if you think about it, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us opportunity after opportunity, right? So every once in a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to get some extra blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to reflect upon our deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an extra chance, right? An extra bonus to improve ourselves, right? So Ramadan went through, alhamdulillah, we had a great month. You know, it was very vibrant, alhamdulillah. And we prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our deeds were accepted, as was the practice, right, of our pious predecessors. For the 6 months after Ramadan, they would be making dua to Allah that Allah accepts whatever deeds that they did in the month of Ramadan. And the 6 months preceding the month of Ramadan, they would be making dua to reach the month of Ramadan. Right? So we should continue to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts whatever good, whatever little good we were able to do in the month of Ramadan. But you know, after that, we get back into our routine. Right? We start doing things, start having activities that perhaps we held off in the month of Ramadan, because, you know, we were ashamed to do them in the month of Ramadan, or we felt that it would not be right to do them in the month of Ramadan. There were practices, there were habits that we had that, you know, we stopped in the month of Ramadan, we started doing them afterwards again. There were things that we started doing in the month of Ramadan which were good, and then we sort of slacked off. So, you know, the heat of the month of Ramadan was sort of there for maybe the next few days, the next week or so, right? But then, you know, life caught up with us, and you know, we started getting lazy and things changed, and then we fell back into our routine. So every once in a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this push, right, this boost that tells us that, hey, look, you know what, you don't get lost in your daily lives. You know, don't get lost with whatever you're involved with, but take time to step back, to reflect on what's really important, and to reflect upon my blessings. Right, reflect upon my blessings that I have given you, and reflect upon what you are actually doing as human beings and where you're headed as human beings in the long term. Right, when you're going day to day and you're looking, if someone's walking, right, and just looking straight down, you just see what's right ahead, like right in front of them. Right, but if you actually raise your head up, and then you actually realize, okay, what's above you? What's coming ahead in the future? Where are you actually headed? So these are opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us from time to time to do all of these things. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the ability, grant all of us the ability to value these precious, these sacred days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to make Hajj, to make Umrah, to visit, you know, the holy lands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to really increase our level of taqwa, of piety, and really increase our level of goodness during these days, and also, you know, to try to continue that momentum and take it as further as we can, inshallah.